cross-party talks at Stormont. We were told this week, this was the week that they'd be intensified. So how's that working out? Well, let's talk to our talks watcher, Brian Rowan. Good morning.
Hey, Tara. Good morning.
And how are things going?
Well, I'm tapping into them rather than standing up there watching them, Tara. Yesterday was a day when they were talking about the past, and you and I discussed some of that earlier in the week. There was a paper in advance of yesterday's talks to the five executive parties, I suppose a kind of homework paper posing some questions to them ahead of yesterday's talks. If anybody has read through Eames, Bradley, Hass, O'Sullivan, looked at the various recommendations of the Victims Commissioner, then there will have been no surprises on what they were talking about yesterday. Just a couple of the main points out of that, Tara. They were looking at what an effective and an efficient investigative mechanism would be in terms of addressing the past. You know that Haas had suggested an historical investigations unit. Unionists have concern that that would mean almost a second police service operating in Northern Ireland. So one of the questions they were asked yesterday in yesterday's paper was what variant of the HIU, the historical investigations unit, could be used. Also questions about another of the Haas proposals on an independent commission for information retrieval, and yesterday's paper asking what roles London, Dublin and Stormont could have in implementing such a body. Another question asked in that paper was around the different themes to be explored within any such commission, looking back over the conflict years. Other things there that you would expect to see, Tara, talk of an historical archive, some acknowledgement process. And, of course, how they go about meeting the needs of victims. I spoke to one of the unionists involved in yesterday's talks a short time ago. He said there was some very useful discussions. He said yesterday was not about taking decisions, more reviewing where the various parties are, and still a lot of talking to continue before you would arrive at any point that could be described as achieving consensus. So,
and anything in particular on the agenda today?
Oh, yeah. I think today moves from the past to the present, Tara. Today's focus is welfare reform and finance. The five executive parties have been given two short papers by way of preparing for today's talks, 11 paragraphs on welfare reform, 9 paragraphs on finance. I can give you a flavour of the welfare reform paper. It's under three headings, Tara: background, current position, and Northern Ireland specific adjustments. I'll just read you two paragraphs from the document as I understand them. This is under the heading of current position. So it says, the current position where welfare reform has not been implemented in Northern Ireland means that the Treasury is making deductions to the block grant to reflect the savings being foregone. These deductions are anticipated to rise to around £350 million per year in 2018-2019. Then I think quite a significant paragraph. The current draft budget implicitly assumes progress on these issues, with no funding included in the budget either to meet the Treasury deductions or to begin to develop a Northern Ireland-specific regime. Without progress on welfare reform, the draft budget will have to be amended to meet these costs, which will create further pressures on departmental budgets and on the delivery of public services. Now, you have the resident welfare reform anorak within the Nolan team, David Gordon. We know that the battle has been on the issue of implementing or not implementing welfare reform.
So this is being batted right back.
That's what it looks like. As you know, the consequences of the standoff is that Treasury fines or deductions running into multi-millions are being taken. There is the option of the executive parties developing a Northern Ireland-specific system. And David Gordon, on your programme recently, had explained a DUP paper that tried to switch the focus and emphasis to the Secretary of State. And this paper, it seems, is returning that serve, Tara, and saying to the executive parties that they need to live within their budgets.
That's going to be one of the biggies, isn't it? I mean, what about the deadline then? We'd sort of talked about Christmas originally, but do you think is that just going to be moved now?
Well, I think, you know, and I can remember this time last year, Tara, being, you know, around those Haas talks and you know, in the jaws of Christmas and the jaws of the new year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there is a view among some of the parties that if they can't get this sorted within a tight time frame, if they can't get it sorted pre-Christmas, then you're into election cycles, the general election of 2015, the assembly election of 2016. So I think there's a view that there is a short space of time to try to get this done. But there is a huge amount of work, and someone else who I spoke to involved in yesterday, while he talked about there being more engagement, he talked about it still being lightweight in terms of, you know, detail becoming decision-making, Tara, and, you know, there is a huge gap between the two.
Okay, listen, thanks very much indeed for bringing us up to date on that, Brian.